Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. I was born in the year 1958, and growing up in the 1960s and 1970s was a time of great change. My generation, born after World War II, was rapidly rejecting the social mores of earlier generations. It was known as the me generation. And the focus wasn't on what's right and what should I do to benefit society. The focus was on the individual. What do I want and how can I get it? The rallying cry of the day was, I've got to be me. And in order to find out who I am, I must experiment with all kinds of behaviors, regardless of whether they were illegal, immoral, or whatever. Another aspect of this time was a large-scale assault on the whole concept of authority. In fact, there was a bumper sticker that said, Question Authority. What it really meant was, reject authority. Civil, social, and religious. Nothing was sacred. Nothing was off-limits to rebellion. Now, I must say, that wasn't a new problem. It was just the manifestation of an old problem. A problem that began with our first parents back there in the Garden of Eden. Ever since Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, every human being is born with the desire to go his or her own way, to decide for him or herself who will chart their path in life. Now, as we'll see in today's study, this was a problem during the earthly ministry of Jesus as well. In the first 26 verses of this chapter, Luke chapter 20, the subject of authority appears again and again. We'll see it mentioned in the spiritual or religious sphere, in the social sphere, and then in the civic or government sphere. And Jesus has clear instructions and warnings for his listeners and for us about how to have a proper understanding of and response to authority. So I've titled our study with a question. Who's in charge? I turn now to the text, Luke chapter 20 and verses 1 to 26. Listen as I read this portion of Holy Scripture. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went into a far country for a long time. Now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, Certainly not. Then he looked at them and said, What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they watched him, and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words, in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness, and he said to them, Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. The text I just read records essential facts about the subject of authority and how we are to relate to it. The first fact we notice is the source of authority. Now, just prior to the opening of our text, Jesus had cast the merchants and money changers out of the temple. He accused them of making it a hideout for thieves. As you can imagine, that definitely wasn't going to make him popular with the religious leaders. You see, the chief priests, who were made up of the Sadducees, and the scribes, made up of the Pharisees, were in league with the Romans. The Roman government had a say in who served as the high priest, and because he had input in that decision, he had a certain amount of leverage or control over the office. These religious leaders believed they had the authority to set the policy for what went on in God's house, in the temple. They were the guardians of God's house, and they reacted to Jesus' intervention. We know they had a very lucrative financial system in place, exchanging money, at a profit of course, and buying and selling acceptable sacrifices to the pilgrims who had traveled from a long distance to Jerusalem. So naturally, when Jesus cleansed the temple, they were upset. They saw him as meddling in their affairs, things that were under their authority. Who did this traveling rabbi think he was to come in and upset the status quo? As Jesus is teaching in the temple, the religious leaders suddenly confront him. Picture Jesus teaching, and all of a sudden, these leaders stand up and they interrupt him. They're going to make their official inquiry. We need to know there was a universally understood principle that was firmly established in Judaism. It was this: all authoritative teaching required previous authorization. In other words, your authority rested on the authority of the person who taught you or on a decree from the Sanhedrin. Now you can understand a little better why they ask him, By what authority are you doing these things, or who is it who gave you this authority? The word authority, as it's used here, means executive authority. It contains the idea of right, that's the authorization to make the decisions, and might, the ability to enforce those decisions. We might simplify their question like this: Who are you, and who do you represent? Jesus' reply to the leaders was typical of rabbinic discussions, answering a question by asking a question. So he said, I also will ask you one word, and answer me. It's implied that if they don't answer him, he won't be obligated to answer them. So he said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven, that is, from God, or was it of human origin? According to Luke chapter 3 and verse 3 and other texts, John's baptism of repentance was a major portion of his ministry. The religious leaders opposed John because he had gained a sizable following. He also had introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the ministries of both John and Jesus threatened the control of these men as the spiritual and religious gatekeepers. So picture these men in the crowd now, stepping forward to confront Jesus. He asked them the question. Now they go off to the side and huddle together to figure out how to answer the question. Jesus had put them in a difficult spot. They knew if they said John's baptism originated from God, Jesus would say, "Why didn't you believe or accept his ministry?" And by extension, that also meant they would have to accept John's testimony about Jesus. On the other hand, if they said John's ministry originated from men, they were sure the people would stone them, because the people were persuaded John was a prophet. He spoke with divine authority. The grammar here indicates the people had a long-standing and settled persuasion about the authenticity of John's ministry. Now, why did these leaders speak about stoning? Well, we know the penalty for being a false prophet was stoning. These men must have feared that if they rejected a genuine prophet of God, the people would stone them to death. So what did they do? These crooked, cringing hypocrites copped out. They said, "We don't know the origins of John's ministry." Now wait a minute. These men are the religious authorities. They're responsible to evaluate the claims of anyone who professes to be a prophet. That's why they approached Jesus in the first place. As I said, they were the gatekeepers of the religion. But they knew if they acknowledged the divine origins of John's ministry, they'd have to accept those same divine origins of Jesus' ministry too. And they were not prepared to do that. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Who's in Charge? Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Who's in Charge? I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Who's in Charge? It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar and you'll find the available teaching. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Who's in Charge? And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.